to Jesus. He cares for you. And as I saw that message, I thought, yes, yes, but something inside of me paused. And I thought, that's so lonely. You know, it's just this guy sitting alone, take your troubles to Jesus. You know, what occurred to me is people need more than billboards. What they need is someone to walk with them, someone to show them how. Don't get me wrong, the message is great, right? But if you don't know Jesus, don't you want more than a billboard? Someone to sit down with you and help you personally understand, to show you that he really does care, to tell you what he has done for them and what he can do for you. To speak to you through his Spirit, to carry his very presence to you in their own hearts so that you can grasp it beyond the power of words to express. Billboards, books, they can't do that in the same way like a living soul. A real person is needed, a living, loving soul who has become a new creation with the power of God's Spirit flowing from within. That's what Paul is getting at when he writes to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, after I read it, and while Jarek plays, I'd like to ask that you pray that God will make our spirits sensitive to what he wants to do in us today, to speak to us today through his Spirit. And I think this is a prayer we have to make all of the time because, you know, you ever look back on yourself and kind of shake your head and think, man, why did I do that? And it might have been something that you did well-intentioned at the time, but the more you grow, the more you realize, oh, man, I've got a ways to go. Well, I think that's a good prayer to pray as we look at God's Word, that we would see it in ways we never have before. So let's go ahead and go there. And I realize, actually, I can also take off my mask while I'm preaching. I can do that because we are appropriately socially distanced here. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. May we pray. So this is, as we've already talked about, the first Sunday of Advent, a season where we think about what happened when Jesus came and where we look forward to what will happen when he comes again. It's a time in which we look at how we can be ready for that. And as we begin this morning, I'd like to ask you to think about the beauty of seeing Jesus at work for the very first time in someone's heart. Think about what it means to see someone that you love, someone that you care about, come to Jesus. Maybe there's someone, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a spouse. You've seen Jesus enter into their heart and life. I think about Ming Wong, a dear friend of mine and an example, an older Chinese man. His wife prayed for him for 30 years to come to Christ. And eventually Ming would come, and what a change God made in him. Now, by the time I met him, that had happened years ago, but I look at this man who was such a faithful believer in Jesus. We want that. We want to see this. Jesus does for them the very same things he's done for us. Hope is there. Where there's been worry and despair, there's a softness of spirit. There's a new peace. There's an openness to God. There's a hunger for his word. There's a desire to pray. Not that we've arrived, but the truth is we understand that. There's a new humility that is at work. The words of John Newton's old hymn that we sing sometimes sums this up well. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. There's simply nothing more beautiful than seeing someone come to Jesus. Seeing it, taking that in, goes deep. And that's why Paul would write about the Corinthian believers, "You are our letter, written on our hearts. You are a letter from Christ." It's interesting, Paul uses that language because elsewhere in Scripture, God uses the language about his commandments being written on hearts. And this is a new covenant. This is the work of God's Spirit in a new way. But the truth is, few things encourage our own hearts more than seeing others come to Jesus. And oh, don't we long for this in the lives of those we love? We need to pray for this. And when we talk about the prayer for God's kingdom to come, this is really what it means, first and foremost. Because don't we want all that we love to come to Jesus before the day, which many times in Scripture is described as a terrible day of the Lord, except for those who come to him? Don't we want to see them know him and love him and be ready? You know, I believe that we must make this our prayer. All the more, especially in this time. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied. We should not be satisfied as a church with just saying, "Lord, get us through this COVID crisis." This is a time where you and I have the opportunity through the Spirit of God to take new initiative. Don't be tempted to say, "Well, it's 2020 and it's Christmas and we're just going to have to make the best of it." We can do so much better than that. We need to pray together and work in this and pray that we may see the Spirit of God move in the hearts of those we love and do what only He can do. We need to fast together. We need to encourage each other in this. If, as Scripture says, our main purpose on this earth is to live for Him and bear as much fruit as we possibly can, think about the parables of Jesus, right? Then we must be about this, especially in this season where so many people are open This may be a season where more people are open to the truth of Christ than you and I have ever seen in our lifetimes. You know, our adversary, the devil, creates at this time of year a great bait and switch where you and I start thinking practically about so many material things. Now, I know that maybe you and I, maybe we, you know, we don't get caught up as much sometimes. I mean, hey, Black Friday just happened, right? But I mean, think about sometimes the hunger that we get in our hearts for things. And, you know, I caught myself on Black Friday thinking, well, is there something else I need? Even though I have everything I need. But I don't want to pass up a good deal, right? And, you know, at the same time, Christmas can create a different kind of hunger in our hearts. We have this sort of sentimental, you know, it's a wonderful life type image of what Christmas should be like, and we go there, you know. Think of all the Christmas songs and the pictures they paint, you know, sleigh bells ring, are you listening? Sleigh bells, come on. I mean, what does that have to do with Jesus? If we need to come back to this very thing, to practically share the greatest gift of all, Jesus, our Savior. We need to unite in this all the more at this time of year and help each other pray for our loved ones. Because when our time on this earth is done, that is the currency which will count most of all. That is what we are to be saving. That's why Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Right? Where decay does not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, where think about what Paul writes here, 2 Corinthians verse 5. Yeah, the truth is, as you and I go about this, we can't make it happen. Please understand, I'm not going there. We can't do this in our own strength. Paul writes, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. And I find that encouraging because you and I cannot cause someone to believe. No matter what powers of persuasion we may have been given. And we must try and we must commit ourselves to this, but it is the Spirit alone. But remember this, if you have yet to make inroads as you're seeking to love someone to Jesus, do not be discouraged. Keep going, keep going, keep pressing on, and we will press on together. You know, when Jesus moves in a heart, the work is of a measure of a depth that we cannot comprehend. You and I go our whole lives trying to discern, you know, what it is that he's done in saving us and setting us free. It's something that we're continuing to delve into, if you will, to learn more and more about, to discover more of the depth of this unfathomable well of living water. But Paul writes, when he writes about the Corinthians, such confidence we have through Christ before God. And when he writes about that, he's basically saying that they are living proof that God has used him, even him, and that his life has been lived with a purpose. So what you see here are these two conflicting truths. We can't make it happen, and yet somehow, as you and I pray, God blesses us in this. As others come to him, somehow you and I are involved in all of that. As we make the effort, even though we don't make it happen, God values that, values us in this, blesses us, rewards us. Years ago when I lived in Germany, I was invited to tea at a woman's home. Frau Bosch was a well-to-do evangelical believer in Jesus who was very refined in her mannerisms. Now, one thing a lot of people don't realize is that in northern Germany, they have many of the same customs that they have in England because of the cultural interactions years ago with the Hanseatic League. And so one of the interesting things about this is that the northern Germans also have a custom of afternoon tea, just like the British have. So I'm walking into her home for this high tea, if you will, and I noticed that she has a songbird in a cage in the entry area, and as I've only been learning German for a few months at that point, I turn to her and I say, "Ah, Frau Bosch, Sie haben einen Vogel." And literally translated, that means, "Oh, Frau Bosch, you have a bird." But colloquially, what it means is, "Ah, Frau Bosch, you're crazy." Or to put it another way, as we might say, "You're cuckoo." Well, Mrs. Bosch raised an eyebrow, and then she realized what I was trying to say, and I realized what I had said, and it kind of took us this awkward moment, but then we had a good laugh about it. I mention that because I don't know about you, but sometimes my efforts at sharing Jesus are just like that. I mean, I feel so ineffective. I feel so weak. I think of this person that I've tried to reach. I think of one person in particular that I've tried to love to Jesus in so many times, so many ways over the years, and I keep falling short. At least it feels that way. But the truth is, again, it's not in my strength. It's in his. Now, I'm called to give myself to this. Paul speaks of pouring himself out. But at the same time, even though I mean well, and even though what I'm saying is technically correct, you know, sometimes, somehow, it just seems like I end up with my foot in my mouth. And part of me fears, better yet, knows, it will always be that way. But here's the thing. As Paul put it, I'm not competent to claim anything for myself. My confidence is in the Spirit of God to communicate what I never could. So after Paul writes about his incompetence in verse 5, he says in verse 6, he made us competent. He made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, there's a lot going on there. The letter kills. You know, that's a great thought about legalism. when we share our faith. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's just about Jesus. Come to Jesus. We'll figure the rest out later, right? The letter kills. Don't let arguments about politics, for example, get in the way of why you're really here on this earth, what really matters. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So you and I, as we marshal our arguments and try as best we can, okay, you know, my best efforts. Sometimes the letter kills, but the Spirit who is in me gives life. The life He gives springs up. And sometimes it happens. Have you ever shared the love of Jesus with someone and they receive it and they accept it? And you realize that maybe you were the last link in that chain when that happened. And in that moment, what you realize is, I didn't do it. It was the Spirit of God. I happened to be here at the right place at the right time to see it happen. You know, maybe I was the last link in the chain. But it was the Spirit all along. Oh, we want to see this, don't we? Please, please, if you come away with one thing from this morning, may it be with that hunger renewed afresh to see what only God can do in the heart and life of someone you love. Oh, I know. You've been about it for so long. You've tried so hard. You've said so many things, sometimes good, sometimes you regret them. But don't give up hope. Don't give up hope, because the Spirit gives life. And it's that very recognition that Paul is talking about, that, you know, I got nothing, but He can do this. And when Jesus speaks to the disciples, often He calls them, ye of little faith, right? But haven't we sometimes seen God work in a soul in ways that defies our faith? I mean, in ways that is greater than we ever thought possible. We've seen that too, right? I know I have. And because His mercies are new every morning, does that not mean maybe today, today is the day that I get a front row seat for a miracle? And oh, how we need to unite in this. How we need to help each other in this. Would you call someone in this church and say, would you join me in praying for my loved one? Could we do that? Could we mark this Advent with our prayers? Could we, in our prayer meetings, be a little less shy about someone that we love that we're praying for? Because, hey, you know, one of the things I've learned, this church will not judge you for asking for prayers for a prodigal. And I praise God for that. We see this. We see this happen in one soul. And you know what we get to see? Christmas. Christmas. And I know this happens in God's time and way, but I also know that in His Spirit, if we ask for this, He will bless us. You know, I think of times before in the life of our church when we've prayed for God to bless us with new believers, to bless us with baptisms, and He's done it. Can we do this? Can we do this again? And pray all the more in the year to come to look for this, to reach for this, to live expectantly for this purpose. I know even now as I talk about it, there is that voice inside that is like, well, yeah, that would be nice, but I got stuff I'm thinking about on my Christmas list right now, and it's kind of fighting that battle. And yeah, Pastor, that sounds all well and good, but oh, come on, come on. Because here, you and I get to see up close and personal Jesus, His light shining into a heart where there has been darkness. His hope casting out despair. Our hands may falter and fumble and drop in our own strength, but He will pick up His message and place it well into the hearts of those we love as we ask, as we pray, Your kingdom come, Lord. And as that happens for someone, you and I are blessed beyond counting. The single greatest gift that you and I could ever give and that you and I could ever receive is Jesus. It is He who makes it Christmas. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever... Don't finish the verse too quickly. Stop right there, please. Whoever, that one that you're thinking, oh, he hasn't come yet. Will he ever come? Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's take a moment as Jarek plays and pray specifically for someone we love who needs to know Jesus. Name them before Him, not aloud, just in your heart, but and ask for new faith to look forward to what only God can do. Let's go there now. You know, I think it's a worthy prayer to look at these words from Paul and to say, you know, here Paul is writing to these members of the church in Corinth, and he's saying, you are our letter. It's your letter written on our hearts from God. God has done this deep thing in bringing you to him, and it's a deep thing in me that he's done. Just seeing that builds our faith. That's why I said there's nothing better than seeing others come to Jesus. I think that's a prayer God loves to answer. To say, Lord, I want this. I long for this in my loved one's life. Please. Please. And to continue to pray as he leads you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the beauty of your spirit. Thank you for what you will do, bringing your kingdom as we pray. Let's join together in our last song.